giving you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it since it's good to get together. You have a bulletin, there's an outline in the inside of the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along as the lesson is presented, we titled the lesson, The Challenge of Christ. Some lessons just need to be heard over and over again. This is one of them as a reminder. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, I put that in your introduction. For even hereunto were you called. In other words, here's our challenge. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So there's the challenge. Follow his steps. Now someone said, Brian, life by itself is a challenge. Now you're adding the challenge of Christ. It's kind of increasing my burden. Somebody else was thinking about all the work they have to do, and they said, you know, I'm still doing yesterday's work. So by tomorrow, I should be ready for today. We sometimes feel that way. But the lesson presents the Christian life as a challenge. And in this challenge, Jesus is the standard. I'm not the standard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. If you follow me, you're going to be disappointed. I'm not the standard and you're not the standard. Because sometimes people tend to want to look around, they see someone over there, and think, oh, they're not living up to the standard. Or the. So why should I? But remember, they're not the standard. Jesus is. He set the standard for your life and mine. And so that's the measure that we should measure up to. And so that's what this lesson is. It's a challenge that determines eternity. And it's costly. However, it's going to cost you more if you miss the challenge. So let's take a look at some of the things I've listed here in this challenge. And by the way, if something is challenging, it means it's going to demand our best effort. This is the challenge. I mean, we're going to have to put some effort into it. If it's a challenge, we're going to have to, you know, put the gusto behind it. We're going to have to think about it and pursue it and seek the challenge. Don't just give it a passing thought. No, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Number one is to live as Christ lived. You know, first of all, he lived for others. In Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and that's others. Others. In Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for others. Not only did, when Jesus lived, he didn't live his life not only for others, but he lived to do the Father's will. That's a challenge. In John 6, verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will. Now you put that in your challenge, your resolution. I'm not here to do my own will. He said, but the will of him that sent me. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, he bows down and he prays, but not my will, but thine be done. I would almost add to this one, to live as Christ lived, we want to pray as Christ prayed. Not my will, but thine be done in my life. Wow. There's a resolution. And by the way, don't just pick and choose these. It's all. We need all of these. Okay, well, I like that one. I'll take three. Yeah. Or these six out of nine. No, I want to challenge. The challenge is all of these. Number one, to live as Christ lived. Number two is to grow as Christ grew. In Luke 2, verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom, knowledge, and stature. I want to grow physically. And in favor with God, spiritual living. And with man, socially. I want to live my life that way. I want to live my life with knowledge. I certainly want to grow. But I want to find favor with God and man. Our challenge, and Peter said it in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't leave that challenge out. In my spiritual growth, God, what would you have me know? I want to grow that direction. You know, if you grow something, you nurture it. Because you want it to grow. If you grow something, you're going to do things that promote its growth. So if it's a plant, you're going to water and cultivate it and nurture it. You're going to feed it, give it nutrients. Same thing with you and me. If I'm going to grow as Jesus did, then I need to do those things that nurture my spiritual growth. Do those things that will gain my favor with God. Bible study, worship assembly. Minister to others. Service. Ask somebody else, what do you need or how can I help you? Let me get that. See? And I want that to characterize my life. I want to grow as Jesus grew. Number three, it was in our text that was read to us. I want to think as Christ thought. That's a challenge. And that's a huge one. That one phrase in the scripture that was read to us this morning in Isaiah 55, beginning of verse 8. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And then he gives a visual, an illustration. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, higher than the earth. Now there's a vast difference. God says, with that view, with that visual, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to think as Christ thought. I didn't come to do my will, but thine be done. Paul said and put the challenge in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the challenge. And that's important because Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want to think the way God thinks. I want God, what do you think about prayer? What do you think about assembly? What do you think about ministry? What do you think about sin? I want to think the way God thinks. See the way God sees it. Remember when I was a youngster, back in Muskegon, Michigan, we had our kitchen table up against the wall. There was a window right there. Dad always sat next to that window, and there was me, my brother Randall, brother Rod, my mom. There was an occasion when Dad looked out the window, and all he said was, he might probably have had to call my name. He said, Brian, I see the grass needs mowing. Dad, I see the grass, but I don't see that it needs mowing. Uh-oh. I didn't see things the way Dad saw. Only did that once. But Dad didn't say, Brian, I'd like to get to mow the lawn. He said, Brian, I see the grass needs mowing. He wanted me to see the grass the way he did. Same way with God. In his word, he says, I see this in a certain way. And God wants us, because our thoughts and God's thoughts are a vast difference. And so that's going to be a challenge for you and me to see the things that God sees and to see it his way. challenge. Because sometimes we don't want to see the challenge. Number four, I want to obey as Christ obeyed. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, even though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect salvation to all that obey him. He learned his obedience. The things in life that I need to learn. But I don't want the troubles and the hardships of life to turn me away from God. Or the pleasures of life to turn me away from God. Jesus challenged us in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? That's a good question. If you're going to call him Lord, he says, why don't you do the things I say? So Jesus gives a warning early in his ministry in Matthew 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Ah. So if I want to obey as Christ obeyed. I want to do the will of the Father. And we can meet that challenge. Others have. The church began. In Acts 2 verse 41 says, those that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There were some that readily received the word. They did what was charged to them. When they asked, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who obeyed. Those who obeyed. Number five, I want to love as Christ loved. There's some things I can't do. In Romans 5, verse 8, God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for a world of people. I can die perhaps for a few. I mentioned a while back, you know, I have a donor sticker on my driver's license. Organ donor. So if you catch me in time after I die, I may be able to save a life or two. But Jesus died for a world of people. And here we reap the benefits of his death 2,000 years later. That's love. Jesus said also in John 13, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, that's part of his ministry. Service. Remember, not my own will. Remember years ago I saw that bumper sticker. It's on the back of a car in front of me. Honk if you love Jesus. I didn't honk. It said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It didn't say if you love me, honk your horn. God didn't do that either. He just didn't look down from heaven and say, honk, honk, I love you. No. God so loved the world, he gave a son. Gave a son. You see, if people want to be loved, they don't want to be honked at. Love is visible, not just audible. Show and tell. I want to love as Jesus loved. Number six is to forgive as Christ forgave. Uh-oh. Paul said it too in Colossians 3, verse 13. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Some people think, you know, I've committed too many sins, and my sins are too horrible, and I've committed my sins too long. I don't think God can forgive me. Oh, yes, He can. Now, if God does that, and He says, Paul says, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I need to forgive people. And maybe you don't appreciate. I want to forgive. Jesus, in teaching His disciples to pray, included that phrase you're familiar with. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then He takes it the reverse. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want mine forgiven. Wow. And typically we end our prayers, that last phrase before we say the amen, is forgive us our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. So we readily recognize we want our sins forgiven. We say it. And say it often. But Jesus said, if you don't do that to others, I'm not doing that to you. Of course, we're going to rationalize that out. Oh my God, you don't know how they hurt me. You don't know what they said to me. But God would say, do you know what they did to my son? Them. Through my son. Crucified my son, I'm going to forgive them. Forgiveness. The challenge is, we think forgiveness is lovely until we have to do it. I said, forgiveness is such a great idea until I'm called upon to forgive. Number seven. Press on here. To endure as Christ endured. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Let us, now take it personally, so let us run the race that is set before us with patience. All right. That's a challenge right there. But then he says, here's the incentive. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. That's right. He knew what was going to happen when he went to Jerusalem. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. So he endures the cross for you and for me. Wow. I want to endure as he endured. That's the challenge. Endure. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't bail out. And don't forsake Christ. The challenge is endurance. Maybe you have to put up with some things you don't like. But we endure. You think everyone here likes the same things? No. We're not all going to make the same choices. For cars in the parking lot. Come, they're not all the same color. We all don't see things quite alike, but now but we're not the standard. Jesus is, not that he says by a certain color. The idea is we want to endure and don't quit. I want to endure as Christ endured. It was hard for him. He weeps in the garden. He cries over the city of Jerusalem before he goes into the crucifixion. Number eight, overcome as Christ overcame. It's in John 16, verse 33. In the world you have tribulation. Well, we shake our heads up and down on that one, don't we? In the world, that's where we are. We have tribulation. Not going to be easy. That's the challenge. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want to do that. I want to overcome the world. Whatever the world is going to throw at me, all the struggles, the trials, the temptations, whatever life sends, I want to overcome and stay on Jesus' side. I want to let the world know to whom I belong. I want the world to know on whose side I stand. I want to overcome as Jesus overcame. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus to the churches, to the angel, to John, to the churches. He said, to him that overcomes all that. Wait a minute, that's my challenge. I want to overcome as Jesus overcame. And so Jesus uses that word, to him that overcomes. I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Overcome and overcame in the same verse. I always think, at least in one theme in the book of Revelation, is this verse right here, where it says, where Jesus would say to you and me, if you overcome, you can come over. But you have to overcome the hardships, whatever it is. The last one, number 9, finish our work as Christ finished his. He didn't give up his ministry because people didn't listen to all of his sermons. He didn't quit his ministry because he was forsaken, prayed. No. He didn't forsake the ministry. He finished his work. And that was one of the phrases on the cross. John 19, verse 30. It's finished. The work of redemption. That's right. It's finished. The way of salvation is being accomplished. It's finished. And that's what Paul said for us in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. I'm not ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. Well, there's the challenge. I've finished the course, the Apostle Paul said. I've finished. I've kept the faith. He finished and he kept. That's the challenge for you and me. Never, never, never finish the course. Finish. That's the lesson. For some of you, the challenge is to begin a new life in Christ. To become a Christian. Do that by a gospel message. I'll give you the same answer that Peter gave to those on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached a Jesus sermon to them. He convinced them in Acts 2, verse 22, you crucified the Christ. You really murdered the Messiah. In verse 36, he said, this same Jesus that you crucified, this is right in the verse, God has made both Lord and Christ. Then the next verse, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Oh, I did that. What shall I do? They cried out. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I'm not changing that answer to this. He said, what shall we do? Guilty. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins.